God is so good. Amen. We're going to get off into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. And next week, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be test week, right? What I'm going to do, I'm going to stop possibly 15 minutes prior, kind of go over some things to expect on the test. So I'll kind of give you a preview so you kind of know what to expect. Amen? All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you right now, Lord God, first and foremost for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and who rose again for our justifications. And we thank you, Lord God, that he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Lord God, we thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Lord God, and for the apostolic anointing that's on his life, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that each and every one of us, instructors and students, will get the impartation and get the double portion anointing that we need in order to be successful for ministry. And I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that we're going to learn how to honor men and women of God, how to serve them with honor. And Lord God, and we just give you all the praise, Lord God, hallelujah, for what you are doing by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. What I'm going to talk about today, and we talked a little bit about it last week. We were talking on God's divine order. God's divine order is as it relates to honor. Because order, O-R-D-E-R, and honor go hand in hand. It's so very important that God's order, or God's divine order, is established. And that's established through God's government. And we're going to talk a little bit about the government of God. Because the government, divine order, and honor is all wrapped up together. And it's so very important that we see that. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We were there last week, Romans chapter 13. We're going to use that as our springboard scripture. And from there, we're going to just... I'm going to be hitting a lot of scriptures. I know I won't be able to go as far as I want to go because we're going to do a review. But in Romans chapter 13, verses 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," or the higher authorities, "for there is no power or no authority but of God. The power that be are ordained of God." In other words, let every individual be in subjection to the higher power or the higher authority. In other words, God is authority, and there's no other authority but of him. In other words, he ordained authority. He is authority, and he ordained authority, and there's no other power that exists that's greater than him. Then he goes on, and we're going to look at some things. I want to look at that in different translations. In the New King James Standard, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Now we'd use the words governing authorities instead of higher powers. So we see the word governing, which is referencing government. So it says, "Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by him." Power and authority are interchangeable here. Okay, let's look at the Amplified version of that same verse of Scripture, Romans 13:1. It says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there are no authorities except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment." All authority has been appointed by God. As I said, God is the authority. And so what we're going to be establishing here is not only authority, but authority in reference to government, to God's government. And that's so very important that we understand that. Because what the apostle has been doing for the last year to year and a half is, and you've heard him make the statement, going back to God's original plan. You know, the way God intended it to be from the very beginning. You know, sin came in the garden, Adam and Eve fell, and it threw the whole a universe into a whirlwind. And Jesus Christ came back to restore divine order and to set up the church and to set up God's government. And in God's government, there's going to be honor. Because once order is set up properly and God's government is set up properly, when I'm by government, I'm talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. We know in society, you know, as I stated the last couple of class sessions, you have the president, you have people who have different ranks and levels. And each one of those ranks and levels deserve and or should have a certain degree of authority and honor that goes with those offices. Well, in the government of God, there are, you know, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And as we learn how to honor the gift and the offices that God has placed in the body of Christ, that brings on not only a respect and a reverence for those offices, but what God has placed in them now can be released to those people who receive. That's why it's so very important to know how to receive a gift properly. One of the things I stated in one of our earlier classes, I said, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. You know, when God has placed an apostle or a man of God, your pastor, you always want to have a gift or go before him. One of the things the apostle stated last Wednesday, you know, he said currency or money is the honor of God. You know, a lot of times people don't want to equilibrate money to honor, but you can put money on one end equals honor. When you sow or sowing this is the way I always like to put it. You know, everyone has a job or work or have some kind of means of income. And your income represents you, your sweat, your time, your energy, your abilities, your talents, whatever you do for a living. And so when you sow monetary means or money into the anointing, you're actually sowing part of yourself, because that's something that you worked for. And you're showing honor, because the man of God or the apostolic source, as we have been calling that the office of the apostle and the prophet, that apostolic source is God's government. And so what's on them can now be transferred unto you. Amen. Okay, let's look at one other translation before we move on. Romans 13:1. It says, now this is the Message translation. It says, be a good citizen. All governments are under God, insofar as there is peace and order. It's God's order or God's divine order. So live responsibly as citizens. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you'll be irresponsible to God, and God will hold you responsible for your irresponsibility, in other words. Now let's go, and we're going to look at God's government as defined in Scripture. And if you want to follow along with me, we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's verse 6. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth forevermore. And it says that the zeal of hosts will perform this. One of the things I have witnessed over the past several months to year or so is the zeal that our apostle has to see God's government established. I mean, I've been affiliated with Word of Life Christian Center and Ever Increasing Word Ministries for a long time, but there is a just a strong zeal, almost a bold tenacity to get God's. And you see, what happens is when the government is established properly and people are honoring the apostolic source, as we've been seeing, God's power, God's blessing, God's glory comes down, I almost want to say full force, but it comes down in a greater measure because everything is flowing properly. There's no dissension. There's no offense. Everything, all the, like one of the, a cliche is all the ducks are in a row. Everything is in order. It's what it is. And so that is why we're seeing the manifestations that we're seeing. This past Sunday at church at Word Life Christian Center, we saw a dozen or so manifestations. When I'm talking, you know, necks and people who had growths on their hands, on their neck, you know, bones that grew back crooked that caused pain, got healed of leg pain, of foot pain, and just all kind of ailments. You know, people who, you know, were in sexual vice got delivered. Why are these things taking place? Because government is in order. Government has been established. And people are honoring the gift. They're honoring the apostolic source. Going back to what I just said, all the ducks are in a row. Our order has been restored. We're going to look at, even in the New Testament, God, I was doing my daily meditations in the book of Acts. I think it was like Acts chapter 5, 4 and 5. And God began to show me that, you know, what was in the book of Acts. The book of Acts actually never did end. If you go and you read the last chapter and in all the other chapters in the book, Paul kind of ends it with I don't know if you call it a salutation or an ending, but the book of Acts just comes to a stop. You know, the reason why, because the miracles, the signs, and the wonders never did stop. They just kept going. That was just all he wrote about, you know. And we are to continue where Paul and where Peter and where John and where, you know, Philip left off, you know. But God now is restoring those offices. And then the honor that goes with the offices is being, you know, people are honoring the gift. So what's happening now is God's glory, God's presence is manifesting itself in a greater degree because everything is in order. That's so when a country has its government in order, the people live in peace and harmony. But think about a country that the government is in turmoil, you know, or a fascist group want to overthrow the government. I mean, you can't hardly leave your house. Everybody, you know, hiding, got a weapon. I couldn't imagine living back during the days behind the Iron Curtain, when Vietnam and all the, and even China and all these countries were in an uproar, you know, back in the day. I thank God that in America we have not seen that, but what we're now beginning to see is God's government being restored back to the church, and as the government is being restored back to the church, honor is being restored back to the church in reference to honoring God's apostolic source. Let me move on. Where there is order in government, there will be honor. This is divine authority and divine order in the uttermost. And I think I stated this earlier, but this past Wednesday, one of the things I'm learning to do is, as I study behind the apostle, every Sunday, every Wednesday, any Show Me Your Glory conference, or whenever he's teaching, everything is, it's almost like it's a continuation. So anytime you miss out on a meeting or on a message, you miss a segment of what God has been showing him, because the revelation is progressive. And all of a sudden, if I miss a Wednesday or a Sunday, I have to go back and catch up. You know, one of the things he said this past Wednesday was, he said, order is the structure of honor. When you think about a building, think about the framework of a building. It says that order is the structure. And the structure has a lot to do with the strength of a building. So order is the structure of honor. So when there's order, it's gonna structure honor. Honor's gonna be there. It's gonna be a solidifying thing. If you get proper order established in God's government, the structure of order will produce honor in individuals. Because God's church and everything is established the way God designed it to be from the very beginning. And that's so very important. Let's just go back. We were reading Isaiah. I just want to look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 again. It says, and the increase of the government. God's government now is on the increase. And what I mean by that is when something is increasing, it's expanding, it's growing. People are being set free. You see, government is supposed to liberate people, not put people in bondage. You know, any democracy, there's certain, even in the Constitution, it talks about certain liberties, you know, inalienable rights that we have, privileges of being citizens of this country. You know, you can travel anywhere in this country you want to. You know, this country gives you an opportunity to do what you want to do with your life. You know, freedom, liberty, and justice for all. Okay, that's, you know, talking about America. But now when you talk about God's government states that, you know, there should be no sickness in God's people. There should be no poverty, you know, no death, no debt as far as owing wages, you know. So what we're seeing now is God's government being established, where people are being set free from spiritual bondages that have kept us from being all that God wanted us to be from the very beginning. The Bible talks about the restitution of all things, and I may get a chance to get into that, but what we're seeing now is a restoring back to God's original plan. And we're right in the middle of that. I mean, I've been, I guess, around full gospel and charismatic circles, word of faith circles for the past 35 plus years. What we're experiencing now, I've never seen before. You know, it's mind-boggling to me, you know, but the thing about it, I know it's God. Because, I mean, I can't deny the fact that, you know, 4 months ago, I couldn't hardly do this because my knees would hurt so bad. But now I'm completely set free because of government being in place, because of order, because of honor, and because the glory has come down, and now God is manifesting himself in such a great degree. You know, that's what it's all about. And this is not just here locally. Everywhere that honor is displayed, everywhere that God's government is honored, God's glory, God's power, God's ability, demonstrations, manifestations are on display. Amen? All right, this is just, I mean, it like I said, it's awesome. I can fathom it, but it's hard sometimes I can't even put it into words. So order is the structure of honor. And I said, if you get proper order established in God's government, the structure of order will produce honor in individuals. Okay, and let's look a little bit at God's offices in God's government. In the book of Ephesians chapter 11, it talks about the fivefold ministry gifts. It says in Ephesians, I'm going to start at, I guess, around verse 10. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended upon above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Then it says in verse 11, and God gave some apostles, and that's firstly prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what did God give these offices of government for? He gave these offices of government for the perfecting of the saints. You can go another step further and say for the maturing or the nurturing of the saints. You know, that's what the apostolic offices, the prophetic offices, pastors and teachers, evangelists are for, to equip the body of Christ. It says in verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Ministry is work. Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. Salvation is free. All you got to do is receive Jesus. But ministry requires work to go out and to get the gospel to every creature, to every person. It takes money to get the gospel out. It takes people dedicated to be about a cause to get the gospel out. And that's what the fivefold ministry gifts are equipped to do, is to equip the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry, or to establish God's government here up on the earth. Anytime somebody gets healed, you pray for somebody and they get healed, you're establishing God's government upon the earth. Anytime somebody gets set free, gets saved, you're establishing God's government upon the earth. You know, we are not of this world. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're citizens of the kingdom of God, you know. And it's so very important that we be about our Father's business. And as we're about his business, we're about his business establishing God's government. Just like the frame of a house is the very structure of a house or the strength of it, where you have true honor, the structure will be solid because everything will be in divine order. God is the most purposeful being in the universe, and I stated that a couple of weeks ago. He is a God of completeness, of absolute divine order. Nothing God does, he does by chance or haphazardly or just irresponsibly. God had a purpose. He establishes the end from the beginning. Nothing he does is by accident. God's plan since the fall of man was to restore back to the earth where sin had caused everything to get out of order or out of wax, to get out of joint. Sin caused the earth, like I said, to just go into a catastrophe. But what is happening now is we're seeing order, divine order, being restored back to the church. In these last days, God is restoring everything back to his original plan. Before the Lord returns, his government will be in order, which is the structure of honor. Before the Lord's return, his kingdom is going to be in order, and there's going to be honor in that kingdom. We're going to know how to. The Bible says, and we'll probably get to it next week, you know, the primary thing that we need to do is, first of all, is to honor God. You know, give him the praise and the honor that is due his name. That's what we're here for. God created man so that we can have fellowship with him, so that we could commune with him. The Bible talks about how Adam communed with God in the cool of the day, how they walked, and they had fellowship. God desires to have fellowship, intimate fellowship with each and every one of us on a daily basis, you know. And when that fellowship is established, God can begin now to speak to us and give us instruction. And I think I stated this last class session, you know, inside of every individual, there's a heart hunger. There's a heart hunger for God. You know, heart hunger for the supernatural. Why? Because we've been made in the very image and in the very likeness of God. And so some people go about trying to establish that hunger by naturalistic means, by getting involved in all kind of ungodliness. But they still come up empty because that's not the avenue. But when you begin to satisfy your cravings for the supernatural by hungering and thirsting after God, who is a spirit. Then that hunger and that thirst begins to be satisfied, because you're getting back to your roots, or to your to the foundation of what God wanted for us all along, is to have that intimate fellowship with Him. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, we're going to talk a little bit about the restitution of all things, and just kind of briefly. It says in Acts 3:21, it says, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution. In other words, the heavens are to receive Jesus until the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. It says in Acts 3:19, and this is the Message Bible. It says, for from the time being, he must return out of sight. It's talking about Jesus in the heavens until everything is restored to order again. Just the way God, through the preaching of his holy prophets of old, have said it should be. Moses, for instance, said, you, your God, will raise up for you a prophet just like me for your family. Listen to every word he speaks to you. Every lasting living soul who refuses to listen to that prophet will be wiped out from the people. And that's the Message Bible. But getting back to the restoration of all things, God is in the process of restoring his kingdom back to the order. And as I was stating earlier, where there's order, there's going to also be honor, because everything is going to be established and set up properly. All right. What I'm going to share now is something the Lord began to show me even this morning as I was doing my meditational scriptures. In the area of order, in the area of God's going back to God's original plan. We're going to start in Acts chapter 4. Well, actually, Acts chapter 4 and around verse 31. This is after Peter and John had went up in the temple, and the man who was lame, axe and arm at the gate of the temple, they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, rise up and walk. And then the people came, and they came, and they wanted to put them away, and they questioned them. But then Peter and John went back to their own company, and they prayed. And they asked God to give them more boldness. But in verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And that's very important. Neither said any of them that ought of things which possessed was their own, but they all had all things common. And verse 33, and with great power God gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, here we see order. You know, the apostles are the ones who are going before. They're the sent ones. They're establishing the kingdom. They're testifying of the goodness of God and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are getting healed, and people now are beginning to flock around the apostles to hear what they're saying. And we see here it says that and great power gave the apostles witness. With great power, why? Great authority. 15 minutes. With great power, God gave them witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as had possessions of land and houses sold them and brought them and brought the price of the things that they had sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet and distributed unto every man as he had need, according to his need. Now, in chapter 5, I'm going to try to help and finish this, and we'll get into the review. In chapter 5, I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase it. we see Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Ghost. And they said that they had sold some land for so much. And basically they were called on a carpet. And Peter said, you know, why have you lied, Ananias, to the Holy Ghost? And the Bible said that he gave up the ghost. But, you know, both him and his wife. But immediately after that had happened, what we see take place was that in verse 11 of I guess it's Acts 5 and 11, it says, and great power or great reverence or respect came upon the church. You know, when God's power is on display and because for government to function properly, there's got to be not only judgment but consequences for going against government and not, you know, doing what you're supposed to do. You know, anytime there's sin, there's going to always be consequences, you know. And when God's government is set up properly, you know, you have to make sure, number one, that you're operating properly under government. And it says here, and great fear or reverence and respect came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. The church began to show great honor and respect for the apostles. And by the hands of the apostles, it says, now signs and wonders were wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord on Solomon's porch. And then it even talks about, you know, further down, how even by the shadow of Peter, they would bring sick people and they would lay them, and that just the shadow of Peter walking by would heal people, and they were all healed. These things took place because government was in place, and because people respected and they honored the apostolic source that was there. Amen. What I'm going to do now, I want to kind of go over a few things. I got about maybe 10 minutes left, and I'm going to try to run over things to kind of expect in the test. One of the things we said in the first class session was impartation plus revelation. Information plus revelation equals impartation. You know, as you get information, God will give you revelation, and through that, you want impartation. Amen? Something else that's going to be definitely that you need to know is when you put your mouth on a man of God, you're dishonoring him. You never want to speak ill will of a man of God. That's so very important. And we also talked about how the kingdom of God is set up. We know that Genesis 8 and 22, we talked about that, and that was one of your quiz questions. Sowing seed, as the kingdom of God is set up, seed time and harvest. Summer, winter, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest is going to always be in existence. And that's how you sow, amen? You plant a seed and you expect a harvest. We talked about how the anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body. And when you position yourself properly, the honor and honor the apostolic source, that anointing will flow into your life. We also talked about the greatest seed that a person can sow is an honor seed, that there's no greater seed than the seed of honor. So we want to make sure that we sow seeds of honor. Anytime dishonor is displayed, the actions and the process of the blessing of God, let me rephrase this. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it inhibits, it short circuits, it resists, and it blocks the actions or the process of the blessing of God coming down to a person's life. So you don't want to inhibit, you don't want to short circuit the blessings of God. We talked a little bit about offense. When you become offended, we said, you turn off the process of the blessing that God has through the apostolic source that he has sent in your life. So you never want to become offended. This is a good one here. We talked, I think it was last session, where it says, sons must realize that the hand of the Father releases the blessing. God sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent to empower and to convey and transfer the impartation they need. Amen. But these are some things that we definitely want to study. I want to share some things also too about anytime you don't honor anything you don't honor, you don't value. You know, so if you honor something, you're going to value it. If you honor or you respect something, there's going to be a value there. And I didn't get into this, but in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron operated in dishonor when they went against Moses because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. And God came down to the tabernacle of meetings, and he came before them, and there was swift consequences. Miriam became leprous for a season because of the fact that she dishonored, even though Moses was her brother, she spoke against Moses, who was God's man. As I stated, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. God told Miriam, says, with Moses I speak mouth to mouth, and not in code. It's straightforward. So, whatever Moses does, I'm address it, don't you address it. And that's so very important. Also, too, one of the last ones I'm going to share here, the major benefit of honor is favor. The major benefit of honor is favor. When you're operating in honor, there's going to be tremendous favor, because favor is a part of the blessing coming down because of the fact that you're operating in honor. But go back and look at the all your quiz questions. Your test questions or exam questions are going to come from the quiz questions. So if you encourage people to go ahead and make copies of the quiz questions, study them, and you're going to see it may be worded differently, it may be worded identically, things may be changed around, but the whole purpose of these tests is to make sure that you're getting the foundational principles that we're teaching so that you can have a strong, you're strong spiritually in this area, so that you know how to properly honor and respect men and women of God. Amen? All right, we'll see you guys. We're not going to have a class session. How much time I have left? Oh, really? Okay. I went through it faster? Okay. All right, if that's the case, let's go to Numbers chapter 12, because I wanted to really hit on that a little bit stronger. Okay. All right. In Numbers chapter 12, as I stated earlier, it talks about Miriam and Aaron and how they came against Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman, or just to put it bluntly, he married a black woman, and they got a little offended about it. It says in Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married a woman of Ethiopia. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came out. And he said, hear ye now my words. He says, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, or the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Therefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and he beheld her leprosy, having leprosy. What took place here was dishonor. Dishonor. They spoke, even though, and if you read in your book, Bishop Tudor Bismarck talks about how Miriam was actually Moses' intercessor. She was present when Moses was a baby and a basket was made and it was pushed out into the river, and the queen had found the Moses and raised Moses, and Moses was reared in royalty, and all the while she interceded for Moses for upwards 80 years. But even so, it did not give her the right to speak against Moses, because Moses was God's chosen man. Moses was the one God has chosen to lead his people out of Israel. And Miriam took up upon herself to say, hey, you should have consulted with us. We're family. You know, remember I stated last week about becoming, letting your man of God come too familiar to you? Well, Miriam had allowed Moses to become too familiar because she was older than Moses. She helped raise Moses up to a certain degree. You know, she was Moses' intercessor. And even Aaron was the high priest. But Moses was God's chosen man. He was the man to lead God's people out of bondage. You know, you never want to let your man of God become too familiar with you. You always want to respect and honor him. You know, one of the things I'm going to say this, and I've seen this several times, even when the apostle, he may go off in a particular area. I remember the grace message. But then after so long, the Lord exposed some things, and he said, hey, look, it's not everything it is. We need to investigate this more. You know, hey, we are saved by grace, but yet sin has consequences. You know, don't use grace as an excuse to sin. You know, there's consequences. You know, God is going to always reveal to a man of God. And a lot of times the best thing we can do is just pray and obey and serve. And that's how we honor God. And that's how we honor our man of God. And that's how the blessing of God continually stays upon our lives. Amen. All right. We're going to conclude with that. I know everybody's going to do well on the test. And we'll see you guys in about a week or so. Amen.